Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, November 3rd. I can't believe it's November. This is the Business Radio X, a week in review. I'm Dana Barrett, and of course, producer Mike Roy hanging out with me here in the studio. How are you?
Because someone's got to do it.
Yeah, someone has to do it.
I'm doing great.
The number here in the studio, 404-231-1190, and you can tweet us by using the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. I will try and multitask. I'm not always that good at it. All right, so I didn't see any movies this week. I don't have any updates in that regard, but I do have to complain a little bit. I know that's shocking because I never do that.
Never do that.
You know what? This is what I have to say. For those of you who still haven't figured it out, it was daylight savings time today. We fell back. And for the record, I just need to say that falling back when you have insomnia is god-awful. I was up in the middle of the night thinking, okay, I only have 3 more hours till I can get up and do something. And then I looked at the clock and I was like, oh, I now have another hour. To add to that, because the time changed. And also, can I just say, speaking of the time change, thank goodness for modern technology, because I forgot. I saw something in the news about it earlier in the week, daylight savings, fallback, blah, blah. Forgot all about it. If my cell phone had not automatically changed time, I would have had no idea, and I would have been here at the completely wrong time trying to do a show. Mike would have been like, Dana, you're an hour early. Go away. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would have said go away.
Well, the thing is, like, all the years before all this wonderful modern technology, I messed up a billion times. Like every fall and every spring, I would be at the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't know. I just never could seem to catch up with the whole daylight savings time. And I've always wondered really too, if it's even still pertinent. Like I understood that when they created it, it was relevant. I don't even know how relevant it is anymore.
Well, the dates keep changing. I remember a while ago, it was in like October.
Yeah.
And now it's November. So they're definitely... the hour forward, they're trying to expand that, it seems, because it also seems like they're setting the clocks forward an hour earlier.
And like, who makes the decision?
Earlier in the year.
This is like one of those times when you talk about the proverbial they, and you're going like, who are they? Who sits around and makes these decisions? That's what I want to know. I want that job.
Well, I'm glad I remembered, because knowing me, I probably would have forgotten and woken up and freaked out because I was an hour late.
Right.
So.
Right. So this is what happens. These are the kind of things that happen to me. Regularly. All right. So I want to hit a couple of headlines today for you, because all of my clips today, this is a little bit of a change of pace, but we have a lot of great clips from Business Radio X, as we always do. But this time they're sort of all around a single theme. And that theme today is ethics. Where do you draw the line? Are you only ethical when someone's watching you? Is it okay to take extra napkins from a restaurant and take them home and use them for your napkins at home? I don't know. These are things that people do. Victimless crimes. But then, of course, there are the more serious ethical violations. We're going to talk about all of that. Of course, the difference between legal and ethical and all of that. So we're going to get into that in a minute, and our clips are going to lead us down that path. But first, I got a couple little headlines to update you on, because that's what we do here in Week in Review. We make sure that you are up on what's going on. So first of all, if you didn't catch it this week, soon you will be able to use your electronics during your entire flight. This is a new announcement from the FAA saying that the airlines have to actually apply to get permission to do it. But I think Delta has already applied and is the first. I don't know when it becomes official. So you might have to Google that or just ask your flight attendants. But you will actually now be able to read your Kindle books, look at your iPad, play your games. And you still won't be able to have your laptop out, because obviously that would get in the way if there was an emergency. So things that are still big and would take up too much space, you can't do. So you can't have your laptop out and going, but you will be able to have your iPads and your tablets and your Kindles and all that stuff out. And your cell phones, you just have to have everything in airplane mode. And I also saw something about it where they said the flight attendants won't, of course, be checking everybody's device to see if it's in airplane mode. It will be the honor system. You will be told what is best. And however, if the flight crew for some reason deems that their appliances, this is how tired I am today. If the flight crew deems that their equipment is being challenged by something they think that somebody has turned on in the plane, they may delay your flight, you know, before takeoff and come down the aisle looking for you. So, you know, leave your stuff not in airplane mode at your own risk. I will say I have left mine on several times by accident, never thought anything about it, and it did not interfere with anything. So I think they were just being overzealous before, and I think
it's precautionary. Yes. Like I would have to think that several people would have to leave their phones in non-airplane mode or
and make a call
you know, this standard plan electronics when you're not supposed to, et cetera.
Right. So they're relaxing all of that. And part of the reason they're saying that they can do that now is also that the equipment on the planes has gotten better. So anyway, that'll be nice, because if you're somebody like me who likes to read or play a game on your tablet for fun, you can't do that for 10 whole minutes while the plane is taking off, God forbid, you know? All right, moving on. You know, I like lists. This week we have the most dangerous city list. And this is just in the U.S. And this list was put together by Forbes. And I'm sad to report that Atlanta is actually in the top 10. We rank number 9 on the most dangerous city list. I'm going to run down the other cities for you this time. I don't always run down the whole list, but I do think it's interesting. So nothing that will surprise anyone. Number 1 is Detroit. Number 2, Oakland, California, where my sister lives. So now I have to worry about her. I already had to worry, but now I have to worry more. Number 3, St. Louis. Number 4, Memphis. Number 5, Stockton, California. This one was surprising to me. Number 6, Birmingham. Number 7, Baltimore. Number 8, Cleveland, Ohio. Then we are at number 9, Atlanta. And number 10, Milwaukee. So that's not so good. We need to work on that.
Well, I knew Detroit was number 1 because I've heard that for years. Yeah. But it almost seems like just pick names out of a hat as far as big cities, because I've never been to several of those places. I wouldn't have guessed that they were dangerous per se.
But yeah. Well, and Detroit, I think everyone knows it's because, you know, the economy in Detroit has just gotten terrible. And that kind of brings us to our ethics discussion in a way, because when times are tough, sometimes, you know, necessity breeds illegal behavior, unethical behavior, all of that. So we'll get more into that. But another note I wanted to make, we've been talking quite a bit over the last several months about the new Falcons Stadium. And just a quick note, a story I saw this week saying the price tag of the new Falcons Stadium is now up $200 million. That's a big price. Now, if you were redoing your house and the contractor came back and said, yeah, it's going to cost an extra $200 million, I'd probably cancel the project.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't think houses are worth that much.
No. Though interesting to note, this is the cost breakdown. Development and pre-construction, $102 million. Design and professional services, $73 million. Systems and equipment, $77 million. And then construction and contingency, $948 million. It's an expensive project. Also, in case you're curious, the funding breakdown, the net hotel motel tax bond proceeds is going to contribute $200 million to the project. So if you're thinking it's your tax dollars, it's not really. They're taxing the people that come and stay in hotels here, and that's where that tax is coming from. So there's $200 million from that. The NFL G4 program is contributing $200 million, and the team debt equity personal seat licenses, whatever that means, is another $800 million. So also, there is an agreement between the Falcons and the Georgia World Congress Center and Atlanta that stipulates that Arthur Blank and the football team will absorb any additional cost overruns. So that will not come from the taxpayers. Interesting. Another national sort of story that you may have caught this week is that the Treasury is going to allow workers who use the health FSAs, those flexible spending accounts, FSAs, to carry money over. If you've ever used a flexible spending account for healthcare, you have to decide at the beginning of the year how much you're going to spend. And they'll take that, they'll let you have that money in your paycheck tax free. Before tax is the best way to say it. I got no sleep last night.
You're doing fine.
I'm mumbling.
The most professional radio host would stumble with some of those words.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Anyway, they finally realized I never used a healthcare FSA because I was sort of sure that I would not be able to figure out how much I would need to spend in a year and I would lose the money. They had that use it or lose it, rule. So if you put in $500 and you didn't spend it come December, you lost that $500. So I never did it because I was always sure that I wouldn't figure it out. A lot of people wait till December and then they run out and get eyeglasses or whatever. Well, now they're saying you can actually carry over up to $500. So that's actually a really good thing. In the past, I believe there was a grace period that employers could offer you 2 or 3 months after December to still use that money. And now they're going to have this carryover. But I think the employers will have to choose between the carryover or the grace period. So you can't have both. Anyway, just interesting to note. So pay attention to that as you do your plans for next year's healthcare's FSAs. I can't speak today. I just need a cocktail, I think, is what it is. Is it 5 o'clock somewhere?
Of course it is.
Okay.
Somewhere.
You know what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna save our first clip till the next segment because we're already coming close to the break and I've got a couple more quick headlines I wanna share with you, and then we'll do two clips in the next segment. We're just gonna play it by ear today. Two big stores to tell you about at the Lenox Mall. First of all, the Nike store has opened. The $2 million Nike store at the very front of Lenox Mall opened this week. It's a huge flagship store. I'm sure it's something to see. They always do quite a production. And I mentioned it the other day because it has in it a display that showcases the basketball hoop from the former Butler Street YMCA, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once played basketball. So that's pretty cool. And then also coming into Lenox will be the Cheesecake Factory. I'm assuming they're moving from their current Buckhead location over to Lenox. But get this, they're spending $4.8 million building out their new location at Lenox Mall. It's something like $500 a foot, whereas the normal cost at Lenox for build-outs for retail are $300 to $350, so very, very expensive.
So they're just essentially moving it down the road.
Yes, and I'm sure they'll get a lot more traffic.
Right.
All right, on that note, it is time for a break. So we got some more headlines, just a couple more after the break, and then we're going to get into ethics and what are your ethics. We'll be right back.
Business Radio. That's right on the money. This is Biz 1190.
Hi, I'm Dana Barrett. Join me every Sunday at noon for the Business Radio X Week in Review. With all the information coming at us every day, it's easy to miss something. But not to worry, I've got you covered. Every Sunday, I'll catch you up on what's happening in Atlanta and introduce you to the innovators who move Atlanta's bottom line.
Hi, this is The Wizard. Join me and The Fox every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. The show's about the stock market. We are in a great bull market. It will last another 3 or 4 years. So let us teach you how to make money and be a winner on Wall Street. Whether you're a trader or an investor, we can teach you how to win. So join us Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. Be a winner.
Don't miss your chance to get Donald Rumsfeld's take on leadership, politics, war, and life. Rumsfeld's Rules, an evening with Donald Rumsfeld, Monday, November 18th. Tickets are going fast, so get yours now at biz1190.com.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,300 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,300 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Williams, and I'll have your full forecast right here on Biz 1190. We're always right on the money.
All right. Welcome back to the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett. Mike Roy keeping me company today,
hey!
Making sure I don't fall asleep at the mic. You can call us 404-231-1190 or tweet us using hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio. So I told you we were going to talk about ethics. And so I've got two more news stories that sort of will segue nicely, I think, into our discussion. The first is that this is a story about somebody just not paying their bill. Essentially what happened is a company called Bosch, Bosch Thermotechnology Corp., made an agreement to sponsor the Braves at Turner Field. And according to the Braves, they paid for the first year, 2011, and then they didn't pay for 2012. And then they backed out for 2013, but didn't pay the early termination fee. So according to the Braves, this company still owes them $329,853 to be exact. Plus they are accruing interest on the amount owed. So, it just always makes me wonder, you know, you commit to something and then you back out. That's not very ethical. Just saying. Not so good. I know last week we had a story about a guy who, I think it was last week, about a guy who was working for Coke and was stealing gift cards and up to something like $400,000.
Yeah, that was last week. I remember we talked about that.
Yeah, that's pretty unethical, I would say.
Just a little bit.
Now, this story is not unethical, but I just thought it was interesting. I live kind of in the Buckhead, Brookhaven area, and I kept seeing these signs near my local CVS for a new doctor's office called Dr. Tatoff, T-A-T-T-O-F-F, and it didn't occur to me that that actually meant tat off, tattoo off. Then I saw the story about it, so I thought I would share it with you all. Dr. Tatoff opens their first Atlanta clinic. This is a national company that does exactly what it sounds like, removes tattoos. So if you have made a bad decision, not necessarily an unethical decision, but a bad decision, and gotten a tattoo of some girlfriend or boyfriend that no longer is important to you, you can skip on over to Dr. Tatoff and have it removed. Get this. This is why one of the reasons I thought it was interesting. This chain has performed more than 200,000 treatments, but listen to this, on more than 25,000 patients. So 25,000 people have gotten four or on average of four tattoos taken off, or eight tattoos taken off. I don't know. That confuses me a little bit because that's a lot of treatments for not so many people. Anyway, I could never get a tattoo because I could just never commit to what I would want to have inked on me for the rest of my life. Though I think some people it works and they look good on some people. I don't have anything against it. I just could never do it. Okay, let's talk ethics and let's get into these clips. So the first clip I have for you today is from the Results Matter show, which is sponsored by Burr & Foreman, airs, of course, on BusinessRadioX.com, hosted by Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. And this week they had the Turknet Leadership Group. They do an award series, and they had a bunch of winners from their 2013 Leadership Award event. And they also had the founders, Lynn Turknet and Bob Turknet. And this clip is from Lynn talking about how they came up with the program. And so take a listen. You'll see why I led down the path of ethics.
We developed a leadership character model in 1995 because we thought, after seeing a lot of leaders doing a lot of reading and research, that leadership is first about who you are before it's about what you do. And that model is grounded in integrity and has a balance of respect on one side and responsibility on the other. Well, we'd been using this model for our leadership development work and our coaching. And in the early 2000s, if you remember, there were a lot of things in our business community that were going really wrong. That's when we had the Enron scandals and the WorldCom scandals. And we knew two things. One, we saw a lot of really good people in leadership in business, and we really wanted to lift those people up. The other thing was we thought it would be a good teaching moment for business people, for all the people in the community, if they could see good role models instead of the ones that were on radio and TV right then. So actually, Susan Hitchcock in our firm came up with the idea for the awards in 2002. We got our first nominations in 2003, and the first award ceremony was in February of 2004.
All right, so that again was Lynn Turknet of the Turknet Leadership Group talking about their award program, their leadership award program, and sort of the genesis of it all, which I just thought was so interesting because, you know, she's talking about all these sort of bad examples that we see in the news and the headlines. And you know, of course, seeing that there are a lot of good people in the world who do have values and ethics and are doing things the right way and wanting to sort of showcase those people and highlight those people. And I applaud that. I think that's good. I mean, we do tend to focus on the train wrecks, right? When the CEO has his golden toilet seat that costs, $4,000, we're fascinated by that. But, you know, when another CEO isn't taking the corner office and is choosing to sit out in the cubes with his peeps and, taking a lesser salary or whatever, we don't really know. We don't hear those stories, right?
You probably should hear those stories.
Right. And so I think that's what the Turknet Group is trying to do, is trying to sort of honor the people that are doing it well. And I do appreciate that. But I also really liked what she had to say about, that leadership is about who you are, character, your character first before what you do. It's sort of who you are and your character is going to drive your actions. But, you can get into a lot of splitting of hairs because there's sort of somewhat unethical behavior, and then there's really, really unethical behavior. And you sort of, everyone seems to sort of draw their own line based on how they were raised, based on, you know, the experiences they've had, based on who they are. I don't know. I don't know what triggers all of that for people. You know, I think there are some people that are just bad. So I don't know. Anyway, I wanted to pull another clip from Lynn because I thought it was pretty interesting. And she talks about a study, and I just want you to take a listen to this. So here's our second clip.
We could talk for hours about the answer to that question, but I do think it tends to be incremental. And I think one of the things that happens is senior leaders have to be really concerned about ethics and integrity. One of the things we know is that people have a hard time thinking about business and financial decisions and ethical decisions at the same time. So you have to be willing to consciously bring the ethical component of any decision into every decision you're making. I'm going to tell just a, this is a really quick research study that I love that tells the reason why. Dan Ariely, who's a neuroscientist, does a lot of studies about when people are honest. And he's done studies where he divides groups into two, gives them really hard math tests. One group, he lets them grade their own answers. In the other group, he takes them up and grades them himself. You want to tell me which group you think gets more right answers?
Which group?
The group that grades themselves.
So they don't get more right answers. They say they get
they
more right
answers. They get more right answers, exactly. And one of the interesting things, one of the things we always ask groups, so what do you think changed the behavior? There's something you can do that will make everybody not cheat, even if they grade their own papers. And the thing that you can do that makes people not cheat
is put a mirror in front of them?
Well, that might work. But the other thing that works is you remind them of their values. And interestingly, even if people are not religious, if you show them the Ten Commandments, they won't cheat.
All right, again, that was Lynn Turknet on the Results Matter radio show. You can hear the whole interview at resultsmatterradio.businessradiox.com. But anyway, I love that study, and I love what she has to say about that. And it really did bring up a lot of questions for me because, you know, when are you honest? Are you honest all the time? Or are you only honest when you think you're going to get caught if you're dishonest, right? And so it's pretty interesting. And again, like, where do you draw the line? Like, I was actually talking about this with my boyfriend over breakfast this morning, and I was saying, you know, my father, for example, who I'm sure is not listening to the show, so therefore I can call him out on the radio, you know, stocked his house with Sweet and Low from the McDonald's and napkins, I believe. So the man has not actually bought a napkin or a packet of Sweet and Low for probably 15 or 20 years. He goes to his local McDonald's now. In fairness to him, he goes there every day and he spends money there every day, which is a whole other problem. But, you know, he doesn't think twice about just taking an extra handful of Sweet and Low every time he's there and taking it home to use in his coffee at home. Well, that's not actually okay. Like, that's actually stealing. That's unethical. I mean, one could argue that it's not really illegal because the Sweet and Low is sitting out there for you to take. But the intention is that you take enough to use in your beverage right then and there, not that you take it home and use it to stock your pantry. But then I was realizing that I do the same thing with napkins sometimes. If I'm in a restaurant, I take a few extra napkins and I stick them in my car. Well, you know, a few extra napkins here, a few extra Sweet and Lows there, it adds up. So you're essentially costing that company money where you could go into the grocery store and buy your own napkins and Sweet and Low, right?
I guess there's a subjective and even invisible limit, because they are out there for everyone for you to take.
Right.
But how much is it? At what point is it just stealing?
Right. Right. And that's the question. And that's why they would have a hard time, you know, prosecuting you for taking too many Sweet and Low. But the reality is, even though it's not illegal, it's not so ethical. So we're going to talk more about that. And I've got another clip on the subject for you after the break. But let's go into the break now and think about your own ethics as we go through the commercials. We'll be back right after this.
All
I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Williams. Get your complete forecast right here on Biz 1190, where we're always right on the money.
At RJL Wealth Management, we believe effective financial planning requires regular communication and ongoing oversight. So if someone sold you an annuity contract, ask yourself, when was the last time you heard from them? Instead of waiting and wondering, double-check your annuities and stay informed about your options at no cost. RJL Wealth Management is introducing Annuity Double Check, a free analysis of your fixed, equity indexed, or variable annuities with an RJL Wealth Management advisor. Schedule an Annuity Double Check. Call 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or request an appointment at annuitydoublecheck.com.
Annuities are long-term investments designed for retirement purposes and contain fees and other provisions which vary by product, issuer, and state. Before investing in a variable annuity, you should carefully consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The prospectuses for the annuity and underlying funds contain this and other information. Contact your financial advisor for a copy and read it carefully. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management, LLC.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility.
Broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, folks, this is Alan Thicke, and if you're one of those millions of Americans who owes back taxes, if you get nervous when the mail comes because you might get a letter from the IRS, then you've heard. They're cracking down this year. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank account. Even your home or business could be up for grabs over unpaid taxes. It's all true. But it's also true that they're offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. If you qualify, the experts at Optima Tax Relief, their team of attorneys and enrolled agents, will get you the best deal possible. Optima has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima for a free consultation.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey, this is meteorologist Aaron Williams, and you've worked hard to build and brand your business, so
let us help you
get your message out to the entire Atlanta metro area. Become Biz 1190's Business of the Week. Get all the details now at biz1190.com.
Join Tom Busby for DTI Market Buzz, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190. Tom provides daily insights and analysis on how money is being made and lost in the market.
DTIMarketBuzz.com.
Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190.
Biz 1190. Weather.
Plenty of sunshine all the way this afternoon, a high of 62. Tonight, clear and again chilly, a low dropping to 43, and some of the colder outlying areas will even dip into the upper 30s. After that cold start, a mostly sunny day tomorrow with a high of 62. Times of clouds and sun on Tuesday, a high again of 62. A little bit milder Wednesday with intervals of clouds and sun, a high up to 65 degrees. Then turning out cloudy most of the time Thursday with showers. Thursday's high 64. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Brian Thompson for Biz 1190.
Welcome back to the Business Radio X Week in Review. Still Sunday, November 3rd. Still Dana Barrett. Still being kept
the
away.
The day hasn't changed in the short break we took.
It has not. All right, so we're talking about ethics today, and I just aired a couple of clips from the TurkNet Leadership Group from the Results Matter radio show on businessradiox.com. And, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, there's little ethical violations, like we said, stealing napkins or whatever. There's big ethical violations, like we mentioned in that story last week with the guy taking the $50 gift cards from Coke until he amassed a $400,000 theft. You know, there's something else to think about when you think about all of this. Sometimes you can do something that is illegal that is not unethical, right? So, for example, a traffic violation. If you make an improper lane change, that is illegal, but it is not unethical. It is a mistake. It is illegal, but it is not unethical. And the reverse also true. So you can do something that is legal, but is unethical. And this is where we have to police ourselves and make decisions ourselves on how to behave. And, you know, it's just very interesting because in a way, I think our current culture encourages sometimes some unethical behavior. Part of it to me is this culture of, well, of course, part of it, and I the next clip I have coming up, actually, I dug back into the archives for this because it was actually one of my favorite episodes of the Good Morning Atlanta show from, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so. Elizabeth Gordon and I were co-hosting, and we were interviewing this guy named Tom Creeley, who has a company called Ethics Firma. His whole business is based on teaching companies how to behave ethically. The fact that we even need somebody to do that is problem number one. But Tom is a great guy. He has a military background, and he really knows a lot about sort of doing this and helping companies to do it right. And anyway, this is a great clip with him talking about whether or not you're going to behave more unethically when, you know, when the economy is down, when times are tough. And it gets into some good stuff. So take a listen to this clip.
Statistics have proven that people are much more cautious in taking ethical risk during hard times.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, see, I would have said the opposite.
That's what most people think. The Ethics Resource Center came out in December with some new statistics, and it has shown that people are not willing to take the risk because they're afraid to lose their job.
Okay. But what about the people that already lost their job and they're just looking for something to do? Are they more likely to be ethically challenged?
That's very possible because they may, depending on the level of desperation, they may be willing to take risk and to go to jail. I don't know if you saw in the news today and yesterday that one of the hottest items to steal is Tide detergent.
Really?
Yes. It is to the point that grocery stores are now putting locks on Tide. And I showed a man in a grocery store.
I see this story. This is funny.
Specifically that brand?
In the grocery store, yes. Particularly that brand because it is the number one seller of detergent.
That is really funny. I'm going to interrupt just for a second because I have to say that when money was flowing for me and I was like all in the big bucks, I used Tide. And now that I'm a little less...
we're generic.
Now I'm like, totally. I have to use the cheaper brand. Right. And I do kind of look longingly at the Tide and wish that I could get it.
It's definitely superior stuff. Having also been through various economic conditions.
It does make laundry a pleasure.
But it seems that would be difficult to steal.
Yeah, they're big bottles.
It's easier to steal.
He had a grocery basket with probably about 20 or more large containers of Tide.
And his running shoes on?
And he ran out of the grocery store with them. And so they're literally putting locks on Tide in grocery stores now.
All right, again, that was...
that clip almost made me... fail to do my job because it was just cracking me up.
I love that clip. I love that whole episode. That is from the Good Morning Atlanta archives on businessradiox.com. If you go to the Good Morning Atlanta show page, goodmorningatlanta.businessradiox.com, and just search for Tom Creeley, C-R-E-E-L-Y. You'll find that. I love that whole episode. It was really fun day. We had, really good people in the studio. We were just laughing the whole time. But it's so interesting because, first of all, he says people are not necessarily less ethical in down economic times. But the reason is, think about this. It's not because they're more ethical. It's because they're afraid to be unethical because they might get caught and get fired, right? And so then I said, well, if the people, who don't have a job, are they going to be more unethical? He said, yeah, probably. So, I think there's something to be said for desperate times calling for desperate measures. But the real question is, if your character is who you are, what will it take for you to put your character aside, put your values aside, and do something unethical? And the reason I wanted to talk about this too is because I've been seeing all these commercials lately. I don't know why I watch commercials, but it does happen occasionally. When I'm up in the middle of the night with insomnia, I'm watching commercials. And I noticed there are a couple commercials out there right now. I think one of them is for AT&T. It's the guy talking to the little kids, and he's asking, is more better, basically. Different ways of asking why more is better, right? And then I noticed that there was another commercial about more, and it was for, I think it was for Comcast, and it was talking about more. And so we have this culture right now of more. We always want more stuff, more money, more everything. And part of it is... just even the way our businesses are set up, public companies can't just be profitable. They have to be more profitable year upon year. Otherwise, the stock price doesn't go up and the investors get unhappy, right? So it's not good enough to just make a good product and have it sell a certain amount and have it be profitable every year. You have to come up with a new product or multiple products or find new markets. You know, Coke can't just be happy selling Coke where they're selling it because they have to produce bigger numbers every year. So they have to start reaching out to the far corners of the globe and finding every corner of the universe where they can sell another Coke because more. Well, the problem is, in my mind, is that you reach a certain point where you can't get any more. You can't do any more without compromising your ethics. And that's where problems come in. And there's another way of looking at it, too. If you look at the flip side of that, so let's stick with that actually for a second. So if you're working for a company whose whole goal is to they're not so concerned with being green, let's say, or being socially responsible or treating their employees right. What they're really concerned about is driving up their stock price. And so your boss is pressured to do whatever he has to do to drive up the stock price. And therefore, he's pressuring you to do whatever you have to do to drive up the stock price. Somebody along that chain is bound to make an unethical choice because you're only driven by more, instead of being driven by your values. And so it's just an interesting thing. And then, you know, I've been reading, as you all know, I talk all about all these business books and I've been reading a lot of Seth Godin. And, you know, he talks about sort of the fact that you can't compete on price alone. So you can't, because you can't beat Walmart. Walmart's always going to find a way to do it cheaper than you, right? So if your business is out there trying to compete on price alone, the same thing sort of works in reverse. You can only get the price down so far ethically, right? Because you cut down your employees down to the, you know, smallest number you can have to do the job, right? You buy the cheapest supplies you can buy that are still okay, right? And you get it down as low as you can get it, but it's still not as low as Walmart. So now you start thinking, well, if I want to beat Walmart on price, I got to cut corners, right? And you see people doing it all the time. Shoddy materials, hiring, you know, maybe workers that aren't as good, whatever the case may be. So I really question sort of this, and I don't know if it will ever really change. We're in this capitalist society. This is where we are, this is what we do. But it's unfortunate, I think, that we have this more mentality. Because the other thing to think about when you think about more is that more is not always better. Sometimes more is just more. And here's some examples I thought about as I was pondering this week. You can see that my head was just full of this, because how many products do you have in your house? And really, feel free to call or tweet. How many products do you have in your house right now or in your possession that have more features than you even know about or have ever used or will ever use? For example, we bought a washer dryer at our house within the last 2 years, and it has so many features. I use wash, sometimes hot, sometimes cold. But there are like 20 options on that thing, and I have no idea even how to use them, let alone do I need them or will I ever use them. But when I was buying that washing machine, I wanted more. I wanted the best. I wanted the one that looked the coolest and had the cool features and whatever. I don't use them.
I'm not even sure what the difference between hot and cold is with regards to washing. Like, if one is better than the other.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because I will help you out with that.
Oh, thank you.
There is no difference. Well, some people think that hot, and if it's super, super hot, and it depends on what hot means to you, right, can it kill more germs?
That makes sense. Yeah.
A certain temperature will sanitize, right? But other than that, they actually say cold water washes pretty much just as well with modern detergent, and you will save yourself a lot of money on your electric bill. So you should opt for cold as much as you can.
Huh.
Anyway, that's a sidetrack.
I'm sorry for that, because I've always wanted to know the answer to that.
I am happy to share.
Because I have a washer dryer with features I don't use either, and I typically, depending on the size, that's really the only thing I do.
I think hot,
load size. I don't really pay attention to the temperatures.
Right. I think hot actually will... some people think it'll help remove stains better. I'm not even really sure that's true with modern detergents, you know. But happy to share. I actually learned that from reading a book by Van Jones, actually, randomly enough, about the green collar economy many years ago, that basically just said that's kind of an old wives' tale, that hot water is better. It really isn't that much better in our current day and age. So anyway, something just interesting to note. But just think about how many products you have, you know, on your cell phone, your TV, whatever, with stuff you will never use that you paid for. More is just more. On that note, let's take a quick break as soon as we get our jazzy music going, because you know how much I love that. And we have more to talk about in terms of ethics. There's a new sort of thing happening in the mobile world that I want to talk about, the ethics of that, on the Soapbox coming up next.
your source for financial news. This is Biz 1190.
The concept of having annuities as part of your investment strategy isn't as simple as it sounds. You need to be informed about the options annuities may provide and where they may fit in your broader investment strategy. Do you really understand the role annuities play in your portfolio? RJL Wealth Management is introducing Annuity Double Check, a free consultation to review the annuities you own or may be considering. If you're unsure about benefits, risks, or fees of your fixed, indexed, immediate, or variable annuity, schedule a complimentary double check. Contact an RJL Wealth Management advisor at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or go to annuitydoublecheck.com.
Annuities are long-term investments designed for retirement purposes and contain fees and other provisions which vary by product, issuer, and state. Before investing in a variable annuity, you should carefully consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The prospectuses for the annuity and underlying funds contain this and other information. Contact your financial advisor for a copy and read it carefully. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management, LLC.
This is Hugh Hewitt for the townhall.com Weekend Journal. Secretary Sebelius takes a bullet for her boss during an intense hearing over the disastrous rollout of Obamacare.
I was wrong. We were wrong.
Healthcare experts begin to speak out.
We have so destroyed the fundamental infrastructure that made this market work.
Fast, engaging, insightful, the townhall.com Weekend Journal.
Don't miss the townhall.com Weekend Journal, Sunday mornings at 7, right here on Biz 1190. Always right on the
money. The worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,300 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,300 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
Donald Rumsfeld, CEO, Cabinet Member, a legendary leader, a lifetime of wisdom. Monday, November 18th at the Atlanta History Center. It's Rumsfeld Rules, an evening with Donald Rumsfeld, hosted by Biz 1190's John Ransom. Brought to you by Biz 1190, Jewelry Artisans, and the Stone Mountain Pecan Company. An evening with Donald Rumsfeld, Monday, November 18th at the Atlanta History Center in Buckhead. Tickets are going fast, so get your tickets now at biz1190.com. That's biz1190.com.
This is Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. Don't forget, there's lots of great programming over on businessradiox.com all week long. And if you just go over there and search around, there's all kinds of shows, all different industries, lots of different hosts, really interesting stuff. So whatever you're interested in, you will find it over there.
We have everything.
That's right. And if you are not sure, you just tune in here and we'll air some clips for you. Okay, so we're talking about ethics. Today's like our special on ethics. And I want to bring up this topic. This is something I just learned about. Some of you who are more tech savvy than I am may know all about this. But there's a new, I don't know what you call it, mobile product, I guess we'll call it, out there called geofencing. Have you heard of this? So geofencing is where a company can geolocate you based on your cell phone and send you a text message. And or an email or whatever, but mostly text message, I think. And what they will do is, if you're near their store, for example, let's say you're walking down the mall and you're, you know, 50 feet or 200 feet or whatever away from a restaurant, that restaurant will text you and say, hey, come on in, we're having a sale on French fries. That's probably not what they would say, but stay with me. And you go, oh, wow, I was hungry for some French fries. I'm going to just mosey on in there, right? So that's all well and good. But here is where, well, first of all, it's not all that well and good. Because first of all, this is the problem I have, and this is why I get a little on the soapbox about this stuff. If you would not do something, and this gets back to our whole discussion about ethics in general, if you would not do something, okay, ethically speaking, if you would not do something with in real life, then you should not do it digitally, okay? So in other words, if you would not come running out of your restaurant as the manager and chase me down 100 yards away and say, want some French fries? Then you should not be digitally chasing me, trying to offer me French fries.
That would be kind of funny to see, though, just someone bolting out there to ask something as ridiculous as that.
Well, and here's the thing. If you think about some of the markets that you see in other countries, more like old world markets, you know, in Mexico and I know in Jerusalem and, you know, a lot of other countries have these sort of open air markets where people are chasing after you and they're saying, you know, come buy my product for a dollar, buy my product for a dollar. And you American tourists, give me a dollar for this thing that's worth two pennies. Come on. And you go, oh, no, no. And or you stop maybe for a minute, and you're interested, and then you start to walk away and they chase you. Okay, okay, 50 cents, 50 cents, right? So well, we don't do that in this country. That's not part of our culture here, except now it is digitally. Now digitally, we are basically converting ourselves back to this sort of like harassment style old world market.
They call it haggling.
Right. And, you know, first of all, I don't want to be annoyed like that. There's enough technology in my face all the time. I don't really want to get text messages from anybody that's not my friend. Like, okay, I already accept the fact that I have to get emails from promotions from people, from companies, and that's fine because I can look at those, you know, at will. I don't get charged really separately for each individual email. But text messages, a lot of people get charged for specific, you know, they don't have unlimited plans. So there's that. And also, I don't want everybody to know where I am, so that's a whole other thing. And frankly, I just don't want to be bothered.
Also, I don't know about you, but to me, it would seem like text messages are a little more harassing than emails.
They are. They are, because you think a text is important.
Even though it's probably the same. Anymore. You probably don't want emails either, but texting seems worse.
Okay, but so now also, let's take it a step further, right? Because this is also what's happening. This technology is expensive, right? So a lot of mom and pop type stores probably even don't have never heard of it, but also can't afford it even if they have heard of it, right? So the people that can afford it are your Best Buys and your Amazons and your whoever. And here's some of the things, practices that from what I hear, don't have proof, from what I hear, they're engaging in. And that is, you know, so here I am maybe in a local mom and pop bookstore. I don't think Amazon is really doing this. This is just an example. But here I am in a local mom and pop bookstore and Amazon will see that I'm there and they will text me and say, you know, you can order that from Amazon for this much. So this is where the ethics comes in. Once again, if you would not do it in real life, you should not be doing it digitally. Would you, as a big store, would you send your people out, your employees out to run into the competition store, walk up to a customer and say, come over to my store, I can give it to you cheaper? No, you would not. Maybe you would in a different kind of country, in a different kind of market. But here in America, that's not how we operate in the physical world. So why do we feel like it's okay to operate that way in the digital world?
It also reeks of insecurity, too. Like I'm here for a reason. If I wanted to go to Amazon or some other place, I would be there.
Right, right. But I'm here shopping in this independent because that's where I want to be.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And so I really question the ethics of those choices. And, you know, I don't even like the ads that follow you around when you're on the internet. You know, when you've looked at a product and then you go to another website and you see the ads for a product you just looked at. No, stop chasing me around. If I wanted to buy your stupid product, I would have bought it when I was on your site. Now you're just annoying me, and I will not come back because now I'm just irritated that you are chasing me around.
Yeah, they think that works. They think it works to be persistent, as put it mildly. But in fact, you're driving them away by being harassing.
Right. And I think it does work, I think, or they wouldn't keep doing it. I'm sure for some people, it's a reminder, and they're like, oh, yeah, I did want to buy that lamp.
Well, no, it could work, but they're not doing it properly. They're doing it too much. Yes.
And I do question the ethics of that. Not all of it, but some of it. And, you know, I think, and like any tool, you can use it for good or you can use it for evil. Not any tool. You know, a bicycle probably you can't really use for evil. But, you know, but here's the thing. Also, it just brings you back to all of these business decisions and back to that very first clip from Lynn Turknet where she said, you know, first of all, we seem to have trouble combining our financial decision making with our ethical decision making. We need to constantly be reminded that we have values in order to stay on the straight and narrow. Right. And so that's a problem right off the bat. But also the fact that we just have this culture of money. It's all about money. It's all about how much. It's all about sales. It's all about beating the other guy. And we will sort of stop at nothing to win. And that's why I think some of these, you know, stories that you hear about the Madoffs and the Enrons and all of that happen because people are just so greedy. More, 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 more. No ethics. So it's very interesting. And, you know, when you find yourself as a, we talked before about being a cog, you know, versus, you know, being a standout at your place of work and just doing the job you're told to do. Well, what happens if you're told to do something unethical and you're just there because you need a paycheck? Do you do it? Do you quit? What do you do? Right? So your boss comes along and they say, hey, you know, we want you to advertise this sale. And you know that that sale is not ethical for whatever reason, right? And you'll just have to use your imagination because I don't have time to come up with a scenario for everything. But, you know, so now you're sitting there and you're like, I could do what I'm told because that's the way I was trained as a child growing up. I was told that, you know, authority, my boss tells me what to do and I do it. Or you can say, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm going to either report my boss and risk getting fired, or I'm going to quit, right? And then I don't have my income anymore. So,
well, that's interesting because you run the risk of being insubordinate yet sticking to your guns,
right,
or doing something you know is wrong for financial reasons and security.
Right. Right.
So it's not an easy decision.
Right. Now, the big guys have the bigger responsibility. The bosses, you know, have the bigger responsibility not to ask you to do something unethical. Right. So that's where I'm coming from. First of all, if you're the boss, you shouldn't be asking your people to do something that's unethical. But, you know, it's a struggle, I think, for people at all levels, because, again, you know, even if you're the boss, if it's a public company, certainly you're driven by the investors. You're driven by the stock price, you know. I think it's probably one of those things that there's never going to be an end to it, because there's always going to be. And then that also gets back to sort of what Lynn Turknet was saying in that earlier clip, just about it's about who you are. It's about your character. And another, you know, I'm jumping around a little bit, but another interesting thing, if you do get a chance to go back to the Good Morning Atlanta show and listen to that interview with Tom Creeley, he talks about the fact that they were putting this ethics program into place in the military. And when he was in the, you know, working in the military many years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it was. And he was saying that it was really interesting because kids coming into the military at that point didn't seem to know, like didn't seem to have learned growing up how to apply sort of ethics and values to their decision making, which was so interesting. So there's something also going on in our parenting culture, I think, where we're not really educating our kids on right versus wrong the way we used to.
Well, I also think the bigger the company you're in, the more potential you have to be just a cog and to not necessarily stand out, because they want the machinery to keep running because it's such a larger operation.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. Well, think about it next time you go to take some extra napkins from your local fast food place. Think about it when you go to take that extra, you know, sweet and low packets or whatever it is. You know, is this really the right thing to do? Is it really an ethical choice?
Do I really need all of this?
Right, right, right. Do I really need more? Or could I just let it go? Let it go and choose my values over those few extra packets of sweet and low. All right. This has been another episode of the Business Radio X Week in Review. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.